which is Anderson versus EMCOR Group. Mr. Moses, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. At this time, I would like to advise the court that I will speak for 5 minutes on behalf of the appellant EMCOR Group. Counsel for the State of Nebraska Workers' Compensation Trust Fund, Ms. Laura O'Banion, will speak for the other 5 minutes.
Thank you.
It is our position that the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court erred in its determination to award the appellee vocational rehabilitation benefits, and more specifically, the plan of retraining that was proposed by vocational rehabilitationist Lisa Porter. In this matter, the judge's further award was issued last December of 2016, states, quote, on the bottom of page 2, the court is unable to conclude that the plan will not lead to a suitable job for the plaintiff. The matter of statute, as set forth by Nebraska Statute Section 48-185 sub 4, the award of the compensation court may be modified, reversed, or set aside. The findings of fact by the compensation court do not support the order or award. In this matter, it's fairly clear in the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act, looking at the vocational rehabilitation portion, that the goal of vocational rehabilitation is that the plan proposed is reasonably necessary to restore the injured worker to suitable employment. So the operative words there are reasonably necessary, restore, and suitable employment. This does not purport to mirror the judge's order in which that the court is unable to conclude that the plan will not lead to a suitable job for the plaintiff, or the question posed by the court.
Are you focusing on the use of the double negative, or is it something different than that?
I'm focusing on the use of two terms, or two phrases rather, reasonably necessary and suitable employment. The court's award of last December states that, and perhaps a better example of the question set forth is that whether or not the plan proposed by Ms. Porter, the vocational rehabilitationist in this matter, is one which is designed to lead to suitable employment. I think the focus is on whether the proposed plan under the confines of the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act, is it reasonably necessary to restore the injured worker to suitable employment?
What weight does the court give to the vocational rehabilitation counselor's opinion?
I would respectfully refer that question to Ms. O'Banion, who may be able to speak at more length to it. In this matter, the vocational rehabilitationist proposed a plan. That plan was then reviewed by the vocational rehabilitationist expert, which was ultimately denied. Now, by the vocational rehabilitationist expert, despite that denial, the plan was ultimately approved in the court's further award of last December.
And the parties stipulated, I mean, the effect of the denial by the specialist was what the party stipulated to. There is no rebuttable presumption. There simply was no presumption at all about the correctness of the rehabilitation, Ms. Porter's recommendation.
Correct. Stipulated that the vocational rehabilitationist expert denied the plan, and therefore the presumption of correctness did not attach. Despite that presumption of correctness not being present, the court did approve that plan.
So what would have been a proper rehabilitation plan in this case?
I think the facts highlight and illustrate what would have been a proper plan, and perhaps that there should be no plan at all. This arose out of a petition to modify filed by my client, the defendant employer, stating that in the course of the year leading to the trial in this matter on this particular issue, that the injured worker illustrated that he did not or no longer needed a plan of vocational rehabilitation. The facts are that currently he operates a garden of about 1/2 acre. He's self-employed, sells his yield and other small goods and baked goods at local markets.
Is he earning anywhere near what he used to earn?
He's not earning anywhere near where he used to earn, but per this plan, after a course of 2 years of training at Southeast Community College, at substantial cost to my client and substantial cost to the state of Nebraska, he will then continue to be a gardener, self-employed, and has testified that he will not make a higher or greater wage. Simply, this plan is not reasonably necessary to restore this kind of worker to suitable employment.
Does the record here suggest that the worker is simply unwilling to drive to work,
yes,
drive any distance?
Yes, it does.
And does that impact the vocational rehabilitation plan in some respect, in your opinion?
In my opinion, yes, and I think Ms. O'Banion, now that I see my time is coming to a close, will speak further to that, but I do think the self-imposed limitations placed by the injured worker and what transpired over the year moving towards what we had trial in October 2016 on this particular issue highlights that that is a factor in this case.
Didn't the employee testify that he wanted interim employment to improve his skills before he could try to make a go of being a farmer independently?
Yes, he did, and I think the focus is that the plan of vocational...
And that plan, that employment, that interim employment, would have been significantly more remunerative than what he was presently earning, but still less than what he had been earning before.
Correct, and that is what he testified to. I think that the focus is that the reasonably necessary and suitable employment should not be to merely place the injured worker into temporary employment. At the end of this course of training, and that the end goal is simply that he wants to be a gardener and will not earn a greater wage, I think it comes at a significant cost and is not reasonably necessary to put this injured worker through this particular plan. And with that, I will sit down to reserve time for Ms. O'Banion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. O'Banion, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Please support. My name is Laura O'Banion. I'm the Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the state of Nebraska Workers' Compensation Trust. First of all, you know, one of the things about vocational rehabilitation and one of the compensation court judges put it best in a single jury award is that vocational rehabilitation is not here to restore a person to the highest level of education for the highest wage. And I would argue that vocational rehabilitation is not there to restore a person to their dream job or to development, but rather it's to restore them to the statute authorizing vocational rehabilitation has no part that the person is entitled to such vocational rehabilitation services, including job placement and retraining, as may be reasonably necessary to restore him or her. Our position is that the trial court in this matter is not meeting the standard. The trial court actually instead says that it is unable to conclude that the plan will not lead to a suitable job for the plaintiff and ordered that Mr. Anderson is entitled to participate.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the other attorney. Is it the use of the double negative that concerns you, or the failure to parrot the language of the statute?
It's a little bit of both, but our position is that she didn't. The court did not use the standard that continues. We believe that what's designed to lead to a suitable job is a lot different from what is reasonably necessary to restore an injured worker to suitable employment.
Let me also ask, as to this employee, and in the statute there's a hierarchy of things that vocational rehabilitation is designed to do. The lowest one is put back on the pre-existing job, and then you go up the chain, so to speak. You can see none of the lower priorities would work. That's what the vocational counselor concluded, and I don't hear anyone attacking that conclusion.
And that's correct, Your Honor. You know, the problem with this case is, you know, we do agree that we are at the correct priority, which is training.
Right.
And that was due to mostly due to Anderson's wage. He was a high wage earner. It wasn't until after the vocational rehabilitation plan was prepared and submitted to the voter that additional facts and information like to question whether or not he's truly entitled to the rehab.
Now, then we start looking at the evidence. And don't we apply the same rule that we've applied in all other factual disputes, that we view the facts in the light most favorable into the prevailing party, which is the employee in this case? It's treated the same as a jury verdict, and we view it in that light.
That's correct, and we don't argue that. What we're saying is that the standard is not utilized by the court, and that the plan in and of itself is not reasonable.
Are you framing this as an error of law?
It could be an error of law, but I do note that vocational rehabilitation is generally an issue of fact. It might be that the court needs intent, but it's suitable employment in order to get to what's reasonably necessary.
Isn't the core question here whether the evidence supported the trial court's ultimate decision?
Yes, that's correct.
And this articulation in the order, in the double negative, is that really significant, or don't we look at the evidence and what the plan was and the approval? Isn't that the focus of our review?
Yes, it is. And I don't disagree.
All right. Thank you.
I see that my time is up, and we ask the court to.
Thank you very much. Mr. Crawford, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Dennis Crawford. I'm here on behalf of Charles Anderson, the appellee and the injured worker. And looking at this case, I would remind the court that we must broadly construe the Workers' Compensation Act to achieve the beneficent purposes of the Act. The Workers' Compensation Act is an important part of the social safety net. That's the broader context for this case. As we've discussed, the sole issue here is vocational rehabilitation. And this is simply a factual dispute. And the findings of fact of the workers' compensation trial judge have the effect of a jury verdict and must not be reversed unless they're clearly wrong. And they were not clearly wrong. Let's look at the evidence. The only live witness who testified at the trial was Charles Anderson. The defendant presented no live witnesses of their own to rebut what Mr. Anderson had to say at the trial. And apparently the judge found Mr. Anderson's testimony to be credible. The only expert witness in the case was Lisa Porter. Lisa Porter was agreed upon as the appropriate vocational counselor by the parties. There's no presumption of correctness because of the denial of the plan by the specialist at the work comp court. But nevertheless, the defense in this case had the opportunity to hire a vocational expert of their own to rebut Ms. Porter's findings, but they didn't do that. So the only vocational plan, the only vocational evidence that was heard by the court was from Lisa Porter. Once again, no rebuttal.
To which there's no stipulation, but nevertheless is the only evidence.
The only evidence, that's correct. They could have hired an expert, but they didn't. Okay. And apparently Judge Van Norman found Ms. Porter to be credible. Currently, Mr. Anderson is only making $8,000 per year. He's scratching out a living running a vegetable garden to keep his family together and to earn a living. This accident decimated his earning power. At the time of the accident, he's making $1,060 per week. The position of the defense appears to me that they're of the position that he's making an adequate living of $8,000 a year operating a garden. I think the defense position appears to be they want to punish Mr. Anderson for going back to work and trying to support his family.
Do we have to define reasonable employment in this case?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think it's a factual thing. It's a case-by-case basis. I mean, every case is different. Every factual scenario is different. And this is kind of an unusual set of facts. So
is this a dream job? Does the workers' comp entire kind of formulation say that rehabilitation needs to fund the dream job?
No, it does not, but this is not a dream job. I mean, he will still be making less money after he completes this program than he did before he got hurt. So whatever job he gets in management for another company, if he when he works for another company, will be less than he earned working for the defendant, so it will be no dream job that he'll get once he completes the vocational program.
Well, isn't what he's going to get is he'll just have more education to grow his garden?
Well, the interim step of working for somebody else, number one, he'll be making more money than he makes from his earnings from the garden, which achieves the requirements of the work comp act. B, it provides him with a way to save some money for some capital to achieve self-employment status. And C, it gives him an opportunity to learn more skills, learn the ropes, become better and more proficient in his field before he enters into a self-employment situation. So I think it's an adequate step to his ultimate goal, but nevertheless, this is appropriate and suitable employment.
If we find that this is appropriate and suitable employment here, given the disparity in earning potential between what he had and what we are approving here, could that be used to harm plaintiffs in the future?
I don't think so. I mean, he's living in a very isolated geographic area of southeast Nebraska. It's very sparsely populated. There's very few job opportunities in the area. Lincoln and Omaha, it might be a different scenario, but I don't think it could be used to harm a future plaintiff or injured worker in this kind of situation due to the unique circumstances.
With respect to the objective of the plan, is it to get the worker on his or her way to the goal, or rather to achieve the goal?
I guess to get him on his way to the goal, and that's what the facts appear to be. It's return to suitable employment, and you know, managing some ag-type business in southeast Nebraska would be suitable employment. And could, you know, create the foundation for self-employment. I mean, there's no guarantees he'll be self-employed. He may get into a situation working for a company where he's satisfied with the position, when pay, and he may maintain the job.
So if this is a sort of a passage, could the worker come in and seek a further modification?
I suppose he could, but I suspect if the court approves a two-year plan, I suspect the comp court would probably reject any modifications or additions. This is a practical matter. He could ask for it, but I, quite frankly, I doubt he would get it, to be honest with you. So this is just simply a factual dispute. I think great deference must be paid to the trial judge. I think she got it right. We would ask that you affirm that the two-year vocational rehabilitation program that was originally approved by Judge Van Norman at the trial court level. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? No time for rebuttal. On we go